Good afternoon. It is indeed a manic Monday. Just like many of you, I woke up. I was still thinking about the Saints' incredible whopping of the Carolina Panthers yesterday, 47-10. And then I turn on the TV, and boom, there's a storm not only developing but heading right for us. Chris Franklin, chief meteorologist at Channel 4, joins us on WWL. Chris, good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good. So look, all of a sudden this storm pops up. And a lot of people were not expecting it, and I think it's a reminder that you can't always plan life. This, even though there might have been some indications of real weather watchers like yourself that it might do something, this was a surprise to a lot of people.
Well, I will say this season has been so crazy, even recently when the models are kind of hinting or sniffing out something. Thus far, we really haven't seen a lot of those come to fruition. So while we were talking about, heck, we had the rain late last week with a little system that was a clear circulation off the Texas-Louisiana coast, and it didn't do anything. And, you know, past seasons, that would have likely exploded. This one is kind of in a combination of the low we were dealing with last week, as well as that same system that we were actually tracking 2 weeks ago coming off of Africa, moved across the Atlantic, did nothing. Moved across the Caribbean, did nothing, then starts to move into the Bay of Campeche, southwestern Gulf. It interacts with this little low, and bingo, we've got something trying to form. And I will say it's even still trying to form. I was just looking at the satellite. Thunderstorms around the center, while they looked super impressive all day today, have been collapsing. The conditions across the Gulf are not the most conducive for this to just explode in strength. So what I want viewers, listeners to understand, while this is our first threat since Ida, this is not an Ida. This is not going to just explode in strength. And while that is always a possibility, nothing is indicating that right now. It's got a lot going against it, more going against than for it, right up to the point of landfall. And thankfully, this is going to be a fast-moving storm, which Ida was not.
Yeah, because it seems like this, you know, is happening in the Gulf at a time when the Gulf should be really ripe for hurricane advancement, improvement.
Well, and we've got we've always got the, you know, a lot of folks will show the water temperatures. We're always going to have those high water temperatures in the Gulf, the Atlantic Basin, especially into September. What we also have is a lot of dry air, which the models don't always do a great job of with regards to how it will impact the development of a tropical system. Dry air may be already doing a little bit of a number on this storm, as well as some very strong wind shear. Wind shear is what helps to rip these storms apart. And one thing that we do have going for us, right up to the point of landfall, so late tonight, the rest of the day today and into tomorrow, Tuesday, will really be the prime opportunity for this to organize and strengthen. Once we get closer to landfall sometime midday, afternoon, evening on Wednesday, we're going to have some dry air, which helps to weaken these storms, and a strong wind shear right along the coastline, which would also help to weaken the storm. So it really is going to be a question through the night tonight and into tomorrow what it's capable and able to do before it starts to reach those even more hostile conditions.
Yeah, we talked to the National Weather Service earlier, and you have more information than they did. They didn't seem to bring up the dry air at all and thought that the conditions are okay for further development. They also
And that's really kind of in the near future, but I'm looking at some of our models that I'm preparing for our 5 o'clock newscast, and there's a lot of dry air that is going to play a big part in this. And like I said, this is just in the last couple of hours. The satellite presentation of Francine is not nearly as impressive as it was a little bit earlier.
Okay. What would you expect for the New Orleans area in terms of inches of rain?
You know, we were looking at some of the models, and they're kind of all over the place. One thing I'd noticed, I was looking at I couldn't sleep last night, just concerned, making sure I've got everything to go.
You're so caring.
Well, it's more of that. It's just I know these kind of situations, we tend to be pretty busy with social media, radio updates, online, on air. But I was looking at it, and at one point, the highest totals were kind of in the range of 4 to 6 inches. You know, that would all come in Tuesday and Wednesday. That would probably lead to a little bit more widespread flooding. Some of those numbers have backed down a little bit. This doesn't look to be as much of a rain issue for southeast Louisiana, southern Mississippi, because it should be moving fairly quickly. I think it's going to be more of the stronger gusty winds, depending upon how close the center gets to southeast Louisiana, as well as the coastal flooding. This is going to have some fairly significant storm surge, and all of our low-lying coastal areas, anyone outside of the hurricane risk reduction system, will definitely see the high water. So we're talking all of the Louisiana coastline and then into the lake. So from Venetian Isles, New Orleans east, and then that water, once it gets into the lake, makes its way toward the river parishes. So I would expect to see some high water in those areas late tomorrow, but more so Wednesday, as the storm is moving toward the coast.
Yeah, it's interesting. You can't sleep when you know a storm's developing. You can't sleep. I can't sleep the night before a debate. So you know, it's just a different business.
So then you won't get any tonight.
That's right. All right. So the National Weather Service earlier was talking about the biggest threat was west of I-55. Do you still agree with that?
Yes, that still looks to be the case. And I will say we haven't gotten the 4 o'clock advisory from the Hurricane Center. But one thing I posted on social media was that we did see the model consensus take a shift to the west. So that for, I know we have listeners all across the Gulf South, but for New Orleans, that is a better scenario. That does put the brunt of it a little bit more towards, say, the Lake Charles Lafayette area, where for a time it was looking maybe from Lafayette to the Baton Rouge Morgan City area. So we have seen the models take a little bit of a shift. We'll see if the Hurricane Center buys into that shift. It may be because the storm, as I said, is not really in a great environment for further intensification. So it may be that center is struggling to develop, and so the models will keep shifting. I really expect to see more shifts in the models probably until midday tomorrow once we finally start to see that more northeastward motion. So I would expect more, maybe not dramatic changes, but more fluctuations in the models probably through the next 24 hours.
When do you think a rain associated with Francine will begin, and what kind of winds can we expect in New Orleans?
The winds will probably start gusting. I would say sustained. We're probably looking at about 30 miles an hour, and gusts could be upwards of 50. That's going to do some minor damage, as we know, and certainly power outages. I've had my phone blowing up with text messages from family and friends asking about power outages, and, you know, I sneeze in Metairie, and, you know, you got power outages in Treme. So it doesn't take much. So we'll definitely see the power outages from these wind gusts. But thankfully, as I heard someone from Entergy talking about earlier, once those winds diminish, which should be not long into the night Wednesday, those crews can go out and then start making the repair. So I'm hopeful that it won't be a long duration with the power outages. And I'll be honest, the number Ida did to us 3 years ago tends to kind of clean out a lot of the loose branches, a lot of the weaker trees. Mm-hmm. So I'm hopeful that we don't see too much of that from this storm. Again, this is not an Ida. I know the last threat we had was Ida, but this is not comparable to a Laura that Lake Charles saw, an Ida that we saw. This is not looking to be one of those storms.
Yeah, wasn't there Isaac just before Ida that really hit like St. John the Baptist and parishes west of New Orleans?
Absolutely, and that's why I think more of when I say the coastal flooding, I do refer as well to the inland flooding from the water coming into the lake and then moving toward the river parishes. I do think that may be more of a concern than widespread flooding from rain with this. Yeah. And then the gusty winds, as I said, sustain. You know, you'll still be able to function. I wouldn't recommend being out and about on Wednesday, but this is not something that you will just have to bunker in for the duration. This is something that people can still function, not ideally, but it is manageable.
Well, that is it's very positive news as this continues to develop, but as we know, we don't know what's going to happen, so we'll continue to
and things can change on a dime.
All right, one quick question. If Eric Paulson goes on the air at 6, what time does he actually wake up?
5:54 maybe.
I was thinking more like 7:30.
That's when his eyes are open. Whether he's there or not is that's anyone's guess.
All right, Chris, thanks for being with us.
Thanks.
Good to talk. Chief Meteorologist Chris Franklin, WWL. All right, let's. I guess we can. I love Eric. No, I really love Eric. But yeah, really, I like it.
Okay, yes, sorry.
We just have fun with that.
Yes.
All right, I guess we get to a few calls. Let's line up a couple of texts coming up. You know, I thought we'd be just talking about the Saints today and the debate tomorrow, but we're talking about Francine. But the news that we're just getting from a chief meteorologist at Channel 4, Chris Franklin, is good. And that is that right now for the immediate New Orleans area, more like just tropical storm conditions and more like, I guess, minimal tropical storm conditions. But to the west of I-55, it's going to be rougher, and Baton Rouge and areas to the west of the city, Lafayette and maybe even Lake Charles, those areas are going to be hit. But hopefully it's not a strong storm. And I love hearing from Chris that the storm is not really organizing the way it could. And that's good news. And I guess the dry air that we had recently is down in the Gulf, and that's going to have an impact on it as well. Let's go to Prairieville. Lenny, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, long-time listener, ever since you've been rocking New Orleans.
I appreciate that.
But I just wanted to give you an update. I mean, up until that last report, it looked like we were going to be ground zero, you know?
Yeah.
The Walmart on Airline in Prairieville, the parking lot's not really that full. I was in there earlier, and the gas lines are short. And
really? That's
the
good.
The Walmart on Highway 40. The one on Highway 42, the gas lines are pretty short, you know, like maybe 2-3 cars.
Yeah.
But the parking lot's packed.
Wow.
Now, the Rouse is on 42. I got in and out of there, no problem. I also wanted to tell y'all that, you know, the one that hit the River Parishes, we were out of electricity for a while. And I had an emergency radio that I listened to y'all the whole time.
Yeah.
Because I used to track hurricanes with Nash Roberts' map.
Oh, wow.
And so I just went to Best Buy, and I found AM/FM weatherman emergency radio with the flashlight and the crank and all that.
Wow.
And solar cells.
That's crazy.
And it's only $49. It's only $49.
Amazing. Yeah, you were doing that in the days of the grease pencil. You know, Naz had the grease pencil, and he would literally draw in the cold front or draw in the storm.
Right, right. My dad used to get two of his hurricane tracking charts, and we'd track them. I mean, I was only like, you know, 10, 11, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, back in those days, hurricanes were fun. I mean, we enjoyed it, really, for the money.
Yeah.
Look, we were without power, but, you know, we made the best of it. It was kind of fun when we were kids to experience that.
And Nash was rarely wrong, you know?
That's right. Yeah,
that's how I'm going to predict a hurricane.
Lenny, I appreciate the call, and really, thanks for listening over the years. If you're on hold, hang on. More of your calls. We'll get to more of your texts coming up. The Saints beat the Panthers yesterday 47-10. It was the debut of offensive coordinator Clint Kubiak's offense. I was impressed. And Alvin Kamara looked like the Alvin Kamara from a few years ago. I mean, he was just blasting through the line. The offensive line obviously did a good job. Rashid Shaheed did a great job. And Alante Taylor was a monster. So, look, I think there's a lot of reason to be excited about that win yesterday. What's a tough reality is the Saints have to travel to Dallas to take on the Cowgirls this week. And that's going to be a tough one for the Saints. But the Saints do well on the road, and they could win that game. Imagine if the Saints win that game, too. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. You know, when I saw the video of Miami Dolphins star wide receiver Tariq Hill being detained by police, they detained him. He was in his Lamborghini. He was like a block away from Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, getting ready for the season opener against the Jacksonville Jags. He was detained and handcuffed. The Miami-Dade police are doing a full investigation. I couldn't help but think of racism. I couldn't help but think of racist cops. Now, maybe that's not what happened. So I understand that. Maybe that's not what happened. But that's what it made me think of, because there are enough racist cops out there. But the majority of cops are not racist. And that's why it's so important for us to call out the bad ones. Because the only way we distinguish the bad from the good is to call out the bad ones. Now, I don't know what happened here. We have to wait and see. I'm not passing judgment. But I can't help but think of racism when I saw that. What, are you jealous of a black guy in a Lamborghini? But you think a black guy doesn't belong in a Lamborghini? I mean, you're a block away from the stadium. Why wouldn't you assume that that's one of the Miami Dolphins? Also, Angel Reese is calling out as disrespectful Caitlin Clark fans who are harassing her. She believes that the harassment is rooted in racism. I hope that's not the case. She has a podcast called Unapologetically Angel. And she suffered a season-ending wrist injury, so she's out for the rest of the season. And the competition between her and Caitlin Clark is natural. They have been playing against each other since high school, and they both seem to have great respect for each other. In fact, Angel says, Caitlin is an amazing player, and I've always thought she's an amazing player. We've been playing against each other since high school, literally been playing against each other since high school, and knowing that, there's never been a beef. We talk trash to each other in the AAU. It's been that. So I think it's really just the fans, her fans, the Iowa fans, and now the Indiana fans. They ride for her, and I respect that respectfully, but sometimes it's very disrespectful. And I think that there's a lot of racism when it comes to that. You know, Angel Reese may be right about this, but I would also tell you that you know, there's not only hate in America, but people are looking for reasons to hate. And I experience this on this show. I experience it on my Facebook page, Scoot on the Air. And if you become part of that, if you join that, and you read some of the comments, some of it is a bit degrading, and you know, I guess that's part of the process. But you know, some people, as we have talked quite often about, some people take their politics so personally that anything that you say about a candidate that they like, they take that so personally that they just want to attack you. And they just get ugly, and some of the amount of misinformation that comes from people who are critical of me on my Facebook page is really unbelievable. The amount of misinformation that is contained in some of the things that are critical of me is just amazing. And you know, really, feel free to just laugh about it, because it's almost comical. All right, let's go to Terry in Slidell. Terry, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hey, I'm going to tell this to that guy, Joe. I'm voting for Trump, but you never call me a right-wing radical. We disagree on stuff, but you know I'm more of a libertarian. I'm not a right-wing. Joe, Scoot has never, ever said anything that wasn't true, okay? A lot of times he says that wasn't true. I'm taking up for you today, Scoot.
Thank you, Tim.
But I had a question I wanted to ask Chris Franklin and that other meteorologist.
Yeah.
You and I are about the same age. Why do hurricanes hit at night?
Well, a lot of them do.
Do you ever know a hurricane that didn't hit at night? Betsy.
Well, no, didn't Ida start during the day? Didn't Ida hit us? I think
no. Ida was a night storm. Ida was night. Katrina was at night.
Well,
Camille was at night.
I know they go into the. I mean, they last long enough to where if they might start during
the
day.
No, but 90% of them hit land after dark. Remember Betsy? Betsy hit, what, 63, 65?
65.
It was about 9 o'clock at night. Camille was the same way. I just wanted to ask that question. It just seems that way, that all hurricanes hit landfall at night.
Next time I talk to any of them, I'm going to mention that, Terry. All right, I appreciate the call.
Yeah, for whatever it's worth, Hurricane Ida made landfall at Port Fouchon at 11:55 a.m. August 29th in the year of our Lord, 2021.
Yeah, but by the time it got here,
by the time it got here,
it was still going on at nighttime.
Quite.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know if that's true. This is the anniversary of Hurricane Betsy.
Right.
On this day, 1965, Hurricane mm-hmm. Betsy hit, and that was a big one. Before Camille, that was just the biggest one that anybody could remember. And I remember we lived close to the lake, so we evacuated. And my dad had, my dad was friends with the Monteleone family. So we went down to Hotel Monteleone and we stayed there. And, I remember a couple of revealing things about that storm. I remember looking out of the window. The windows had blown out. The wind, the suction, we were on the downwind backside of the hotel. Our rooms were facing the backside of the hotel. So the wind, the suction on the backside of the hotel, I believe, was so strong that it sucked out the windows. But I remember the glass windows being sucked out and the drapes in the room flying out. I mean, they were still attached, but flying out. And I was looking down, and there were people who were going into an electronics store on Royal Street, and they were stealing things in the middle of the storm. And I asked my dad, I said, what are they doing? He goes, they're looting. And I said, what is looting? And he said, well, they're taking the opportunity during the storm to steal things. And that really opened my eyes at a very early age. It opened my eyes as to how low some people would go, as to how dishonest just how dishonest people were. The idea that you would take advantage of a storm and go out in the storm and take a chance on being injured to steal a radio or to steal something from this Radio Shack kind of place, some kind of a sound music kind of a appliance store. And I just, really understood how ugly some people can be. That surprised me. And I also just remember seeing signs falling down on Canal Street. And it was pretty scary. I mean, we felt good that we were in a hotel, but we lost power. In fact, my little brother and I, I'm not proud of this. I've mentioned this before. I'm not proud of this, but we did it. And we didn't think anything of it at the time. But all the electricity went out. We had a flashlight. We charged people 25 cents to take them downstairs or to bring them back upstairs. And we made a few bucks. Looking back on that, I don't feel good about taking advantage of humanity in that situation. I mean, there was probably a law against what we were doing, but I don't know, man. You know, we just decided to hey, for 25 cents, we'll take you downstairs. And people were happy to pay it. So, we made a couple of bucks. But yeah, this is the anniversary of Hurricane Betsy hitting, which for a lot of boomers brings back really frightening memories. And we returned to our house in Metairie on the north side of the West Esplanade Canal. And there was no electricity. I don't remember it being that bad. But of course, it was still hot that time of year. But, when you're a kid, back then, maybe it's totally different today. But when we were kids, it wasn't really that bad back then to not have electricity. I mean, we dealt with it. I don't have many memories of being without electricity. I have memories of being without electricity when it comes to a lot of other storms, but not when it comes to Betsy, when I was really young. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. All right, Beetlejuice. That's Beetlejuice 2, but the name's mentioned twice. Beetlejuice was the number one movie at the box office. And I'm wearing a shirt that is a black and white striped shirt. And as soon as I came in, Coleman said, hey, that reminds me of Beetlejuice. I said, oh, really? He says, yeah, I saw it over the weekend. He said it was terrible.
He hated it.
He hated it.
He's pretty unflappable. Coleman is a very level-headed guy.
Yeah.
He was actually kind of like visibly angry talking to me about it.
He was mad. I guess that he spent his money to go see it when he could have been in a bar drinking.
I mean, it's 2024, Coleman. Bring in a flask. You know what I'm saying? why you got to make it one or the other, my guy?
Man, I used to do that. Man,
I'm still doing that.
I thought nothing of putting a little vodka in with the Sprite.
Vodka and Sprite, huh? Never learned your lesson, did
all
you?
All right. No, it was Jim Beam and Fresco.
It's the same that thing.
No, it's not.
Don't mix whatever.
All right. If you want to join us, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right. So a friend of mine just texted me something on my phone about the Tyreek Hill case, and it says, I didn't watch this. I didn't see all of this. It said that Tyreek Hill was speeding and the cops asked him to roll down his tinted windows quite a few times. The cops had no idea if he was black or white. Then they asked him to get out of the car multiple times and he didn't follow instructions and argued with them. It wasn't about race. I didn't know that. But, again, because of racist cops, and my point was because of racist cops, I think one thing that wasn't true, which is why we have to always call out the bad cops so we separate them from the good cops. If Tyreek Hill was speeding and not following instructions, then I don't know if they handled it properly, but he certainly should have been detained. He should not have been given any preferential treatment because he's a Miami Dolphins player. And if he was speeding, you know, you're supposed to go fast on the field, Tyreek, not in your car. So if that happened, I'm sure they're going to determine whether or not he was treated fairly in terms of being handcuffed and put on the ground. And I think there was a knee on him at one point. You know, maybe some of that was not necessary. But I don't care if you're some thug punk or you're Tyreek Hill. You need to follow the instructions of police. I mean, it's really that simple. And by the way, being in the Dome yesterday, the music in the Dome was a lot better than it's been. I've criticized the music in the Dome. I don't know who's doing the music, but all of the songs, all of the music was rap, hip-hop related, it seemed like, with very, very few exceptions. Now, I have total respect for rap and hip-hop, but not all of the music in the Dome. And when you consider a lot of the Saints fans, and when you consider the Boomers, and when you consider just a lot of people who, you know, are not into that, there are so many music selections that would be very appropriate for the Dome. And the music, I don't know who's doing the music or if it's the same person and they change things, but the music in the Dome yesterday was amazing compared to what it has been. So I wanted to make note of that. All right, Ian's got some text messages for us.
Sal is listening today. Sal says, hey, Scoot, if you're like me, you didn't miss electricity during Betsy because you didn't have air conditioning back then. That's what we really miss today. We were used to the heat, as miserable as it was, and now we've become soft.
Well, now I feel guilty because we had AC we had AC at our house. Now, we didn't have a lot of electric devices to plug in. You know, we had the hi-fi. And we had the TV, but other than that, we didn't have any fancy items to plug in.
No, you didn't. You didn't have an air fryer. You didn't have a PlayStation 5.
No,
you didn't have a Roomba.
No,
you didn't have an air purifier.
No, none of that. None of that. No, we had a.
How did you live?
Well, we had somebody come in Friday to clean the house.
Oh my God, Stone Age. Here's a text that says, "Hey, I went to International Market and I bought those frozen potato pastries and spices and Dubai chocolate. They were so nice there."
Good. Yeah, they really are great. And listen, by the way, if you're getting ready for the storm, I mentioned this earlier, International Market has liquor a lot less expensive than a lot of people. So a lot of people are getting their liquor at International Market. You might want to make that a stop. Whether you're preparing for the storm or not, just check out the liquor at International Market in Metairie.
Hey, you know what I hear sometimes? You know, you hear like the advertisements that are like, you know, stock up on gold now because you never know, when the market's going to crash or whatever. I think you should be stocking up on Dubai chocolate because, you know, that's going to be impossible to find after society collapses.
Boy, that's right.
And we're like staggering around looking for our next meal of dandelion heads.
At some point, it could become the gold standard, the Dubai chocolate standard.
Yeah. You know, like the post-apocalyptic movies, they're always like trading cigarettes and precious metals. No, go get some Dubai chocolate so you can, you know, keep your family safe.
And in the meantime, it's good.
Don't eat it. It's just currency, man. Here's a text that says, hey, with these winds coming, people better secure their Mylar balloons.
Yes, please do that. Don't let them float up in the air.
If you're cold, they're cold. Bring your Mylar balloons inside the home, people.
Bring them inside.
Let's be responsible here. I'll leave you with this one, Scoot. Who was it? Terry in Slidell asked why hurricanes often hit at night.
Yeah.
Here's a text that says, in response to your caller's question, hurricanes are usually looking to cause death, destruction, chaos, and terror that can only be described as criminal. And like most criminals, they prefer to use the cover of darkness to wreak their mayhem and havoc.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody has resurrected that idea that Donald Trump had of firing a shotgun into a... Didn't Donald Trump have the idea of firing a shotgun?
No, he wanted to nuke it.
He wanted to nuke
it? Yeah, Hurricane Dorian, the one that he drew the Sharpie around Alabama for.
That's right.
He asked the National Security Council, what happens if could we use a nuclear missile on the hurricane there? And they're like, no, Mr. President.
Yeah, wait a minute. Wait, let's just talk about the idea of, you know, dropping a nuclear bomb to stop a hurricane. Don't you think there's going to be problems that are going to be a lot bigger than a hurricane if you drop a nuclear bomb in the hurricane?
Well, if you only think 5 seconds into the future.
Oh, by the way, there's something. Okay. Trump is 78 years old. He suggested now that people who are 80 and older are too old to be able to be accountable for documents that they have signed. Trump's 78. If he wins, he'll be halfway through his term when he says he shouldn't even be held accountable for any document that he signs.
That's using your noodle, Donald.
All right, very quickly, let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy, what you got?
Hey, buddy. Hey, look, I agree with y'all. Be nice to these grocery store workers. And I think today it's getting a little chaotic out there, Scoot. I think tomorrow, I told Ian, it's going to be like Lord of the Flies, whether it's warranted or not. But I do have a question. Okay, this morning I dropped my kids off at school. I run into the store. I got four cases of water. Now, let me ask you, it almost felt like a Seinfeld episode, right? Like, did I double dip my chip and I got another person telling me what to do? A lady came up to me. She saw me with four cases. Now, earlier I saw somebody with like 20 of them. Yeah. Anyway, she saw me. She told me I'm taking too many.
No.
And my question to you is this. Is it up to other – should somebody like that come up to another customer and say that? Do they have the right to the jurisdiction to do it? Or is it up to the grocery store to set limitations? Because, again, it felt like a Seinfeld episode. What should I have done? In the end, I told her, look, lady, I got kids and a family. I'm taking it. Nobody – so I want to get your take. What's the proper hurricane protocol?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the store decides, but I'll tell you, you know, when people are so quick to judge you, you might have been getting stuff for, you know, like an elderly neighbor. You know, you might have two elderly neighbors and you might have been buying stuff for them. So, you know, don't be so quick to judge people based on what you see. And I think that woman was way off sides judging you for having four cases of water. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. It was a big football weekend. Falcons lost yesterday. That's good news. And the Saints won big. And every Monday at 4 o'clock, it's the second guest show with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, live from the Silver Slipper Casino on the beaches in Hancock County. Coach's show at 6:30 with Mike Haas, the Cajun Cannon, and head coach Dennis Allen. I want to thank program director and brand manager Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager, and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hook, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, traffic with Joe Cardosi. And as always, I thank all of you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot on the Air. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans. All right, so a friend of mine just texted me something on my phone about the Tyreek Hill case, and it says, I didn't watch this. I didn't see all of this. It said that Tyreek Hill was speeding, and the cops asked him to roll down his tinted windows quite a few times. The cops had no idea if he was black or white. Then they asked him to get out of the car multiple times, and he didn't follow instructions and argued with them. So it wasn't about race. I didn't know that. But, you know, again, because of racist cops, and my point was because of racist cops, I think one thing that wasn't true, which is why we have to always call out the bad cops so we separate them from the good cops. If Tyreek Hill was speeding and not following instructions, then I don't know if they handled it properly, but he certainly should have been detained. He should not have been given any preferential treatment because he's a Miami Dolphins player. And if he was speeding, you know, you're supposed to go fast on the field, Tyreek, not in your car. So if that happened, I'm sure they're going to determine whether or not he was treated fairly in terms of being handcuffed and put on the ground. And I think there was a knee on him at one point. You know, maybe some of that was not necessary. But I don't care if you're some thug punk or you're Tyreek Hill. You need to follow the instructions of police. I mean, it's really that simple. And by the way, being in the Dome yesterday, the music in the Dome was a lot better than it's been. I've criticized the music in the Dome. I don't know who's doing the music, but all of the songs, all of the music was rap, hip-hop related, it seemed like, with very, very few exceptions. Now, I have total respect for rap and hip-hop, but not all of the music in the Dome. And when you consider a lot of the Saints fans, and when you consider the Boomers, and when you consider just a lot of people who, you know, are not into that, there are so many music selections that would be very appropriate for the Dome. And the music, I don't know who's doing the music or if it's the same person and they change things, but the music in the Dome yesterday was amazing compared to what it has been. So I wanted to make note of that. All right, Ian's got some text messages for us.
Sal is listening today. Sal says, hey, Scoot, if you're like me, you didn't miss electricity during Betsy because he didn't have air conditioning back then. That's what we really miss today. We were used to the heat, as miserable as it was, and now we've become soft.
Well, now I feel guilty because we had AC we had AC at our house. Now, we didn't have a lot of electric devices to plug in. You know, we had the hi-fi, and we had the TV, but other than that, we didn't have any fancy items to plug in.
No? You didn't have an air fryer? You didn't have a PlayStation 5?
No.
You didn't have a Roomba?
No.
You didn't have an air purifier?
No, none of that. None of that. No, we had a...
How did you live?
Well, we had somebody come in Friday to clean the house.
Oh, my God. Stone Age. Here's a text that says, hey, I went to International Market and I bought those frozen potato pastries and spices and Dubai chocolate. They were so nice there.
Good. Yeah, they really are great. And listen, by the way, if you're getting ready for the storm, I mentioned this earlier, International Market has liquor a lot less expensive than a lot of people. So a lot of people are getting their liquor at International Market. You might want to make that a stop. Whether you're preparing for the storm or not, just check out the liquor at International Market in Metairie.
Hey, you know what I hear sometimes? You know, you hear like the advertisements that are like, you know, stock up on gold now because you never know, yeah, like when the market's going to crash or whatever. I think you should be stocking up on Dubai chocolate because you know that's going to be impossible to find after society collapses.
Boy, that's right.
And we're like staggering around looking for our next meal of dandelion heads.
At some point, it could become the gold standard, the Dubai chocolate standard.
Yeah. You know, like the post-apocalyptic movies, they're always like trading cigarettes and precious metals. No, go get some Dubai chocolate so you can, you know, keep your family safe.
And in the meantime, it's good.
Don't eat it. It's just currency, man. Here's a text that says, hey, with these winds coming, people better secure their Mylar balloons.
Yes, please do that. Don't let them float up in the air.
If you're cold, they're cold. Bring your Mylar balloons inside the home, people.
Bring them inside.
Let's be responsible here. I'll leave you with this one, Scoot. Who was it? Terry in Slidell asked why hurricanes often hit at night.
Yeah.
Here's a text that says, in response to your caller's question, hurricanes are usually looking to cause death, destruction, chaos, and terror that can only be described as criminal. And like most criminals, they prefer to use the cover of darkness to wreak their mayhem and havoc.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody has resurrected that idea that Donald Trump had of firing a shotgun into a... Didn't Donald Trump have the idea of firing a shotgun?
No, he wanted to nuke it.
He wanted to nuke
it? Yeah, Hurricane Dorian, the one that he drew the Sharpie around Alabama
That's right.
He asked the National Security Council, what happens if could we use a nuclear missile on the hurricane there? And they're like, no, Mr. President.
Yeah, wait a minute. Wait, let's just talk about the idea of, you know, dropping a nuclear bomb to stop a hurricane. Don't you think there's going to be problems that are going to be a lot bigger than a hurricane if you drop a nuclear bomb in the hurricane?
Well, if you only think 5 seconds into the future.
Oh, by the way, there's something. Okay. Trump is 78 years old. He suggested now that people who are 80 and older are too old to be able to be accountable for documents that they have signed. Trump's 78. If he wins, he'll be halfway through his term when he says he shouldn't even be held accountable for any document that he signs.
That's using your noodle, Donald.
All right, very quickly, let's go to Jimmy and Gretna. Jimmy, what you got?
Hey, buddy. Hey, look, I agree with y'all. Be nice to these grocery store workers. And I think today it's getting a little chaotic out there, Scoot. I think tomorrow, I told Ian, it's going to be like Lord of the Flies, whether it's warranted or not. But I do have a question. This morning I dropped my kids off at school. I run into the store. I got 4 cases of water. Now, let me ask you, it almost felt like a Seinfeld episode, right? Like, did I double dip my chip and I got another person telling me what to do? A lady came up to me. She saw me with 4 cases. Now, earlier I saw somebody with like 20 of them. Yeah. Anyway, she saw me. She told me I'm taking too many.
No.
And my question to you is this. Is it up to other – should somebody like that come up to another customer and say that? Do they have the right to the jurisdiction to do it? Or is it up to the grocery store to set limitations? Because, again, it felt like a Seinfeld episode. What should I have done? In the end, I told her, look, lady, I got kids and a family. I'm taking it. Nobody – So I want to get your take. What's the proper hurricane protocol?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the store decides, but I'll tell you, you know, when people are so quick to judge you, you might have been getting stuff for, you know, like an elderly neighbor. You know, you might have 2 elderly neighbors and you might have been buying stuff for them. So, you know, don't be so quick to judge people based on what you see. And I think that woman was way off sides judging you for having 4 cases of water. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. It was a big football weekend. Falcons lost yesterday. That's good news. And the Saints won big. And every Monday at 4 o'clock, it's the second guest show with Bobby Hebert, Mike Dettillier, live from the Silver Slipper Casino on the beaches in Hancock County. Coach's show at 6:30 with Mike Haas, the Cajun Cannon, and head coach Dennis Allen. I want to thank program director and brand manager Diane Newman, assistant program director and brand manager, and senior producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hook, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, traffic with Joe Cardosi. And as always, I thank all of you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot on the Air. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.